If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. As we go through the book of Matthew, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, we have seen in chapter 12, the Messiah, the one to come, the one who was prophesied, had come, and his people have rejected him as a nation. And Jesus now turns to the Gentiles, and he speaks in parables. This book, this chapter, actually the book is built around five discourses. Chapters 5 through 7, those of you taking notes, chapter 10, and now chapter 13. And then chapter 18, and then 23 through 25. Five discourses, five messages. This is the third major discourse in this in the book of Matthew. And there are seven kingdom parables. Now, as we defined it in two terms, a kingdom of heaven. You'll hear it speak about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is God's realm of authority. God's realm of authority. And Jesus' coming was the introduction of the kingdom of heaven. The Jewish leaders rejected Jesus and his kingdom. And the question becomes, what happens to the kingdom? Because of the nation of Israel, the one he had come for has rejected them. The kingdom will be, listen, partially, not fully, fulfilled by the church. The kingdom will be totally fulfilled as Jesus returns again with us. And these kingdom parables are prophetic of what will happen to the Christ kingdom since the Jews have chosen to reject it. Did you capture that? Jesus, the Messiah, has come. The nation as a whole has rejected them. The results of that are these parables. What will happen to the kingdom now that the Jewish people who God has chosen has rejected it? A parable is an earthly story that illustrates a spiritual truth. And a parable is a compound of two words, para, meaning alongside, and balatin, to throw. So a truth thrown alongside a story so that we can know and understand. These parables were stories Jesus threw alongside of truth to illustrate. The interpreting of these parables, there's three rules. Number one, determine the context in which they were given. Why would he say this? Why did he say this? Who was he talking to? What were the circumstances? Well, you know, Pastor, that's your interpretation. No, it's not. There are methods of interpretation. Hermeneutics. Go back to what was said. Who was he talking to? Why did he say it? What was the conversation? What was the context? What was the original language that it was spoken to? And where else is it in Scripture? And so there are some things, yes, we could say, well, that's your interpretation because God hasn't totally revealed it. Some of the things in Revelation that John saw, he could barely describe, and so he tried to describe them in earthly terms. And we could say, well, this is what it meant. Okay, fine. Doesn't really matter, does it? This side of eternity really doesn't matter whether we understand it or not. But interpretations are for a purpose, for a plan, so that we have an understanding of what he said, why he said it, who he said it to, and what does it mean for us? Number two, parables are not given to teach doctrine, rather to illustrate doctrine, to illustrate a truth through a story. Once again, alongside thrown the truth. Number three, as an illustration, they teach one basic truth. One basic truth. He's making a statement here. So we pick it up in Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 2. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house, and he sat by the sea. And a great multitude there gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat, and he sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. So he goes out into the boat. Why? You ever be on water or in a pool or talk? Water carries your voice. And so it's kind of like an amphitheater setting. He sets out in the water. If you ever go to the beach in the early morning or at night, and there's nobody, well, not on the East Coast, but on the West Coast where it's always calm, and somebody's on the ocean, you could hear them. You're 100 yards away, and you could hear them talking. And so there's an amphitheater-type atmosphere. This is what he does. But before we get into the story, listen. Hebrews tells us, in the past, God, who in various ways has spoken to the fathers through their prophets. But in these days, he has come himself. He has spoken by his Son. Jesus himself shows up with the message. So God, from Genesis to this point, has been preparing his people, giving them laws, illustrations, sacrificial system that would point to what Jesus would fulfill. He was preparing them. He was tilling the ground, if you will. So my wife and I moved into a house and we just painted. We're in week number 3 of every Saturday painting job, and we're not done yet. I'm still living in a box to some extent. But the driveway, the house is, you know, not a brand new house, and so the garage floor had a lot of grease and stuff on it from all the years of a car parking on it. And so the painter says, "Hey, I'm going to paint the garage and I'm going to paint the floor." I'm like, "Great." He says, "But I have to pressure clean it first." I'm like, "Okay." So he pressure cleans, there's water everywhere. After he pressure cleans it, he says, "I'm going to have to acid wash this. Because if I put the paint on it the way it is, the paint's not going to absorb. It's not going to receive. It's not going to sink in." So he pours this acid wash on it. It's amazing what happens. It's everything that was on it before is gone. And he painted it, and it's beautiful. And so, in order to have that result that he had to prepare the flooring so that the paint would be able to receive it. Well, same thing with a farmer. A farmer goes out and he tills the ground. Now, how many of your farmers have come from that area in the country? Just a couple of you. I've seen it on television. I have no idea. I know what they do, and I know what they use, and I know it all, but I never done it, right? And so what they do is they till the ground. They make a hole. They prepare it. They break up the ground that is hard, and they take out the stony rocks. And then the farmer comes along, and he sows the seeds in the holes, right? He prepares the ground. Now, as we go through these parables, a sower will sow a seed, and the world is the ground. And so, with that in mind, let's continue, verse 3 through 9. "Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying," in other words, here's what will happen now that the kingdom has been rejected. He says, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where there did not have much earth. And they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up there, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, and some 60, and some 30. And he says, "He who has an ear, let him hear." So this is the first parable of 7 parables in this discourse in chapter 13. And this is the first in order of priority. Once again, Mark tells us in chapter 4, verse 13, you cannot understand all the other parables without understanding this one right here. And it's very important that we understand its context. God, in various times, in various ways, has spoken to the fathers through the prophets, but in these days has spoken to us through his Son. Jesus has now showed up. They have been prepared. The ground has been tilled. The sower comes. And these are the results because they have rejected the king. It unlocks the parables to follow. And the meaning is that the kingdom will be rejected by most people. We know this is true because Jesus gives the meaning in verse 19 and 23. So this parable has 2 applications. Primarily, it speaks of how we hear the word. And secondly, how we receive the word. He who has an ear, let him hear. This was not a call for all to listen, but rather it's a call for those who are spiritually sensitive to take note. Those who are spiritually sensitive to take note. Have you ever been in a room with people and you start talking about Jesus? Oh, yeah, you know, I prayed to God and, you know, I woke up this morning and my heart was just broken. I began to pray and, you know, Jesus, the Holy Spirit just gave me comfort and peace. And you'll see people start walking away. The room will clear if you've been in certain circles. People will start walking away. You've mentioned Jesus. They're going away. But the believer is, well, oh, really? Oh, well, that's awesome. You know, I prayed to the Lord and he did this and he did that. Like-minded, right? One in spirit. So, those who are spiritually discerning would listen and would hear the message that he's given. So, I've told you before, I went to a Charlie Daniels concert here at the amphitheater last year or the year before. And right in the middle of the concert, and the guy's amazing at his age that he could still sing. And every song he sings, they bring him a new guitar, which is amazing, or a different guitar. Every song. And he probably goes to like 25 guitars through the whole show. But in the middle of the concert, here's what he does. The lights go out, and they put a spotlight on it. Charlie Daniels, Southern Rock and Roll, gets up there with a solo, and he starts singing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Now, here's what happened when he does that. Half the crowd's running to the bathroom. We're going to get another beer, right? But most of the believers are going, Bobby was there, I've seen him there. Most of the believers are going like this, right? And then there's other people doing this. So those who are spiritually sensitive will respond to spiritual things, wouldn't you agree? And so we were there, oh, praise God, look at this, this is awesome. And we're watching, my wife and I were noticing the believers, it was a call to worship. For the heathen, it was a call to get out of there and vacate. And that's what happened. Exactly what happened. Amazing. And then it was done. All the Christians clapped. All the heathens came back with their beers and whatever. I'm not judging. I'm just making an observation. That's what happened. Those who were spiritually minded responded to that call of worship. It was a call of worship in a concert. You guys know who Justin Bieber is? Very famous young man now. I didn't know who he was. So I asked this guy that I was with, is it Beaver? B-E-A-V-E-R? He goes, yeah. So I get on, I'm texting my son, hey, I'm with Justin Bieber. And they're laughing at me. It's Bieber. Anyway, this is a true story. So he's engaged to Stephen Baldwin's daughter. She's a famous model. And Stephen Baldwin is a Christian. He's the youngest one of the Baldwin brothers. And so we were just at a Palau event in Grand Rapids, and they were there. So I was talking to Stephen Baldwin, some of the pictures on Facebook, and I got a picture with Justin Bieber. Bieber, yeah. Isn't that funny? Because the guy I was with, he didn't know who he was. Yeah, that's it. It's Bieber. No, it's not Bieber. So be careful the advice you get from some people, right? I learned that. When I became a Christian, I began to ask people advice about or questions about God. They didn't know what they were talking about. So be careful what somebody says. But anyway, Bieber got saved at some point in his life. And Stephen Baldwin is mentoring him. And there's a pastor from whatever state this guy is at, is mentoring him and trying to pull him out of this world who's pulling him this way, you know, on a physical realm and the spiritual as well. So he wanted to bring him to the Christian concert to see what's happening. And I brought this up to say this, is that this Bieber guy is doing the same thing. In the middle of his concerts, he's breaking out with a Christian song. And that's amazing. Now, there'll be people, oh, I can't believe you're hanging out with this guy. Wait a minute. We were just like him, right? Lost in the world at some point. Then we got saved, and then God began to change us. And we're not perfect, and we're not there yet, but we're on our way, right? So those who are spiritually discerning will understand the things of God. But we got to be listening. Are you listening this morning? Because this was especially true in the light of the next few verses in which Jesus explains the purpose of this parable. So before we read the text, why did Jesus use parables in this context to hide the truth from those who were not listening to the Holy Spirit? those who didn't want to hear, those who had their own ideas, their own mindset, they were becoming blinded to the truth because they've rejected it. He's speaking to the nation of Israel. What would happen to the kingdom because of them rejecting it? And so now we try to dress up. Listen, so a sower sows seeds, right? A sower is a farmer, and the sowing is the casting of the seeds. And normally they keep these seeds in bags, seed bags. But here's the mistake we're making in today's church, the American Christian environment, is we try to dress up the seed bags, which is a picture of the church. Oh, we're going to make it so spectacular and so this and so that, and we're going to have the, you know, lights and a light show and smoke, because that's what's happening out there. And we try to dress up the seed. They paint the seeds so they're different colors. We want to make the seed even a little more attractable because we got to get them in, right? We try to dress up the seeds and the seed bag, and yet it has nothing to do with the seed bag, the sower, or the seed itself. It is a condition of the heart, the condition of the soil that we're going to see here. It's a condition of who receives it and who doesn't. We have this understanding to do with the seed in the bag, but it has nothing to do with that. Once again, it's a condition of the soil. Don't miss this. Future pastors and evangelists, we have to understand that. You could dress up all you want Sunday morning. You could have a spectacular service, and yet nobody's growing in the Spirit. The church may be growing in numbers, but it's not the numbers of the fruit they're talking about. It's the fruit of the heart, the fruit of the Spirit. So keeping that in mind, it's not the pastor's fault or the church's fault or the people that do not come to Christ. It's their fault. And so, listen, here's what happens. The Holy Spirit comes alongside of you, and he's guiding you and he's nudging you until you become a believer. When you become a believer, he comes in you. And now the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is a seal and a guarantee of your inheritance. And here's what happens when you have the Holy Spirit in you. It begins to teach you, gives you understanding of something you didn't have before. Now, I've always wondered how, because we believe the Antichrist will rise up from Rome and Europe. I'm thinking, Rome and Europe, that's a vacation place. There's no power there, right? Friday night, Fox News reported that they have video and tracking of planes that went from Iran to Damascus bringing bombs and rockets. Now, we've been talking about Ezekiel 38 and 39 all this time. Iran, Syria, which is Damascus, and Russia will attack Israel. It's not an if, it will, because the Bible says that God's going to put a hook in their jaw and draw them into the mountains of Israel, and God's going to destroy them. But it also says that that whole area is going to be significantly diminished, so its power source is going to be significantly diminished. Now, think about that. Rome steps up in power, the Antichrist is revealed. Amazing. Now, I'm not saying the Pope is the Antichrist. I didn't say that. So don't send the emails. I didn't say that at all. I don't know who he is. And if you know who he is, you're fooled, because we won't know until we're taken away. But just think about that. As things are happening, God is giving us wisdom and understanding of things that are happening around us. We saw this Friday in the news. A little blip, a minute, if the most, of the video. And that's it. Nobody talks about it. Nobody hears about it. But things are happening, and we need to be wise. So those who are spiritually in tune would say, yes, we're looking at the signs and the seasons around us, and we want to walk circumspect, meaning being aware, being wise, being on guard, because the clock is ticking. We're all getting older, right? One day God will call us home. We all have an expiration date. Now, we all may go once with him collectively, in the rapture, or he's going to call us home individually, but we're all going to meet the Lord one way or another, right? So God has prepared your heart. If you're a believer today, all this time the Holy Spirit has been guiding you, alongside you. Why? How do we know this? Well, Jesus says nobody can come to him unless he's drawn by the Father. And this is the drawing of the Father as the Holy Spirit is alongside of you. Then when we become believers, Those who have rejected the gospel message are not going to be able to say, well, we didn't get saved at Calvary Chapel Pompano Beach because, you know, they didn't have this. They didn't have a motorcycle ministry. They didn't have an adult education. You know, we didn't have a car wash every week. But this other church had that, and, you know, they never got saved. We're not going to have those excuses. It's because of the condition of their heart. Condition of their heart. Verse 10 through 13. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. And he who have an abundance, he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand." The Bible says, listen, that the cross is what? Foolishness to those who are perishing. Foolishness. It's like, you guys are stupid. This is what the world thinks of us. We're brainwashed. It's a cult. This is what they say. But yet, it is life. So this parable cuts two ways. It reveals truth and it conceals truth. It reveals it to those who are spiritually in tune, and it conceals it to those whose hearts are hardened. And God has given us the ability to comprehend spiritual truths. Do you understand that? God has given us, the believer, the ability to discern and understand spiritual truth. There's things that you may read today that you totally understand, but when you were not a believer, it made absolutely no sense to you, did it? The Holy Spirit gives us wisdom, gives us understanding. And so it depends on the condition of the heart. So for whoever has the heart to listen, verse 9, to him more truth will be given. But to whoever does not have a heart to listen, even what he has will be taken away. The Pharisees were excluded from knowing the truth. They're becoming dull. They're growing dull. Those who had the word of God, the law, even what they had will be taken away. They will not understand. They will not comprehend. They have been blinded because of the condition of their heart. So Jesus' followers are included. Growing wiser. The more we know about God, the more we know about God, right? The more we study, the more we want to study. The more I read the word, the more I want to read the word. So if you're like, "Oh, I'm really not into it," get into it. You won't want to get out of it. Get into it, you won't want to get out of it. Read the word, you want to keep reading. Whoa, what else don't I know? What else don't I know? Oh, what does that mean? I don't understand that. And then we'll begin to pray, and then we'll have an understanding, and we'll begin to grow. And this is how it works, verse 14 through 17. And then, in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, "Hearing, you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing, you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of the people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For surely I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." This is amazing stuff, because as we've talked about before, in the Old Testament, you know, the prophets who wrote, Daniel had no idea what he was talking about. But he just wrote. God told him to do it. He wrote it. But he didn't understand what he was writing, because it would be thousands of years later before it would come to fruition. He didn't know. He didn't understand. And God tells Daniel to seal this up till the last days. In other words, the understanding of that book will be revealed in the last days. Now we have an understanding of the book of Daniel when he speaks of, for the nation of Israel, be 77 weeks. 69 of them have already passed. Jesus went to the cross. That was a 69-7. The clock stopped. Why? Because now he's calling all men, right here, to salvation. salvation comes to the Gentiles. And then all of the Gentiles, until the last Gentile comes in, then the rapture of the church happens. So you could be the one holding God back from rapturing the church because you're not evangelizing. Go evangelize, because we don't know who the last one is, right? I'm just saying. Where was I? This is a fulfillment of prophecy. This is the ninth prophecy in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9. Jesus quotes it, and it's a difficult passage. So, in which Israel was commanded by the Lord to speak to the people who won't hear him or receive him. It was a prophecy fulfilled completely in Jesus, as he spoke to the people whose hearts were hardened, hard of hearing and dull, whose eyes were closed. Jesus makes it all to hear and to believe. He makes it clear that all could hear and all could believe, but we're given that free choice. You have a choice. I met with a young man the other day. Well, I don't know why God said not to do this. I don't feel convicted, so it must not be true. How do you answer that? That's a condition of your heart, right? Just because you don't understand why God said not to do something doesn't mean you can do it. Like, you come to a four-way stop here. Well, I don't like that stop sign. Why is there four? There should be three. I don't know why they put four. I'm going to go through it. There should only be three stops. Right? Go ahead and do that and see what happens. There'll be consequences of that. We think we know everything, and we realize we don't know much at all, do we? In the span of everything that God has done. And so, Jesus is speaking to parables. Many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it. Who is he talking to? He's talking to them people right there and us. We've seen the Messiah come. We've seen him resurrected again. We've seen, imagine reading the Psalms where we speak about he's hung on a tree. Who? Who's hung on a tree? Who is this? They didn't know who he was. They knew he was going to be the Messiah, but they didn't know who the Messiah was. They never saw it. But now we see it in history. It has come. We have understanding, listen, that they didn't have. Isn't that amazing? So realize how fortunate we are to live this side of the incarnation of Christ. And not only that, seeing prophecy fulfilled. The nation of Israel, 1948, is God's fulfillment of the prophecy where he would bring his people back to the land. We've seen it. They've been there 70 years. And now we're seeing other prophecies being fulfilled. Keep your eyes open, right? 18 through 23. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches it away that was sown in his heart. This is he who receives the seed by the wayside. But he who receives the seed on the stony place, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when the tribulations and the persecutions arise because of the world, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who is indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So this parable unlocks all the parables to follow. It's important for us to understand. Jesus identifies the seed. The seed is the word of God concerning the kingdom. The field is the hearts of the people. And the birds of the air are Satan's forces, symbolic of evil. So we have the wayside, the strong place, or the stony place, the thorns, and the good soil. What kind of soil am I? What kind of soil are you? The wayside is the fields where bordered paths. In other words, they were like sidewalks where the cattle would go through, people would walk. And the wayside was outside of that, of the sidewalks, beaten paths, hardened. They had no root. Foot traffic and the sun would bake upon it. And it says it the wicked one would come and snatch it away. The thorny place is a very shallow soil. In other words, a little bit of soil on the top, but rocks on the bottom. So there no roots could grow. No roots could grow in it. And there's no depth. There's no substance. And this is the one, it says, the stony place, who immediately receives the word with joy. You ever been around these people? Praise the Lord. That was awesome. I used to go to church with a guy when I got saved every week. We couldn't wait to get there Wednesday night, taking notes, Bible studies. And then he went through some situations, disappeared, never saw him in church again. We're talking 20 years now. What happened? Was always excited about the things. Now here's an important caveat here. We have to say that we don't know who's truly born again believers. So we're not judging unto salvation. We have to be careful with that. But we see the condition of the hearts and the soil. And then the thorns, weeds, that roots of which were still in the ground after the plowing. These committed superficial without truly repenting. These are those who just, I believe. You know, there's a lot of pressure in church. Come on up, Jesus is calling you. And people feel an obligation, especially when you bring somebody, you're getting an elbow on the side. Come on, go up. Now again, I'm not judging, but when we look at the conditions of the heart, there's four conditions. The wayside, the stony place, the thorns, and then the good soil. So that means only a quarter of the people in the church are good soil. So think about a big church, one local here, 20,000 people. 5,000 of them, if we look at this parable and percentage-wise, 5,000 are bearing good fruit. The rest are all dealing with these conditions. And so the good soil is the one that is ready to receive. And it bears fruit. Each category difference was the soil itself. It wasn't the seed, it wasn't the bag, it was the soil. The condition of the heart that it fell in, verse 24 through 30. I'm running out of time this morning. Another parable he put forth saying, the kingdom of heaven is the man who sowed good seed in the field. But while men slept, his enemy came in and he sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in the field? How does it have tares? And he said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, don't miss this key here. Do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he says, no, lest while we gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let them grow together until the harvest. And at that time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat in barns. So this is the second parable. Once again, the nation of Israel has rejected Christ. This parable of the wheat and tares, the meaning of it, don't miss this. The church will be mixed multitude of true believers and false believers. Not everyone who says what? Lord, Lord, will enter into my kingdom. And they're going to say, but didn't we do all these things in your name? Did we come to church? Did we do all these things in your name? And he says, I never knew you. So picture this. A sower goes out and throws the seeds. Speaking of the hearts of the people, some will be true, good soil, and others will be thorns. So the wheat and the tares, which are thorns, grow together. Won't be separated until the harvest. When Jesus comes in judgment, right? Removes the church, judgment comes on. So this is what he's talking about. What are the results of the nation of Israel rejecting their Savior? Here's the results. Church is growing together, and so we need to be wise and aware that not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter. Not everything that seems to be spiritual is spiritual. I've seen some crazy things in churches on YouTube. Unbelievable stuff. Pastor jumping up on the pulpit, dancing, walking on top of the pews, and he falls, one of the things. Just in the name of Jesus, in power of the Holy Spirit. Foolishness, rolling on the ground. And attributing that to Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Be careful, be wise. Listen, why? Well, how could you judge that, Pastor? Well, let me tell you how I can judge that. I judge that by going to the text. And one of the fruits of the Spirit, listen, is self-control. Not no control or out of control, but self-control. Before we became believers, we didn't have self-control. Our body did whatever it wanted to. Now that we're believers, we have power over the physical, and we can control it. And so, the wheat and the tares will grow together. And he'll give us an interpretation, but I'm not going to get there this morning. Continuing his analogy of sowing, Jesus moved on to a subject very familiar to his listeners in agriculture environment. When a farmer planted a field of wheat, anyone had something against him would sow the tares into the weeds. And so this is a way to get back at the farmers. And this is what Satan's doing to get back at God. He's bringing the people into the church. He's speaking about the kingdom of God, God's authority, God's realm of authority. Where is that? The church. There's people that bash the church. Oh, I'm not going into it. It's full of hypocrites. That's right. We all need Jesus. Now, I'm not saying if the church is doing foolish things and not heeding to the word of God, run out of that church, please. But if we're teaching the word and studying the scriptures and following the text, then we're reaping the word, and the seed hopefully will fall on good soil. If you're a believer, you're good soil. You've received. And the bearing of that fruit is the Holy Spirit. What is the bearing of the fruit? Peace, patience, mercy, love, self-control. These are the fruits of the Spirit. Now, we think it's always going out and doing something. No, that'll happen, but that's the fruit of the Spirit is love, patience, kindness, perseverance, self-control. So know this, because the nation has rejected, tares have the same color, shape, fragrance as wheat. But in time, listen, don't miss this point. The wheat and the tares look the same. How do you know? How do you know the difference? In time, the wheat bears fruit. The tares never bear fruit. The wheat bears fruit. The tares never bear fruit. They look the same, smell the same, but in time, you'll know the difference. You'll know them by their fruits. So we've learned something, hopefully a couple things this morning. This may be something you've heard before, the teaching here, but because of what the nation of Israel has done, rejecting the Messiah, this is the condition of the kingdom of God here, his realm of authority here on earth. There'll be, most of the people will not believe. And there'll be false people, false believers in and among us. We may or may not know who they are. What do? Love everyone. Listen, I'm going to close in a minute. Jesus knows everything, right? And yet, he knew Judas would betray him. But what do we see Jesus doing in the text? Jesus washes his feet. Now, how many of us would have done that? I don't know that I would have. But if we want to, listen, don't miss this as we close. If we want to follow the example of Jesus, he loves even his enemies. This is why he says, love your enemies. It's easy to love somebody who's nice to you. Love even your enemies. And so I want to bear fruit in my life, and I pray that you do, because if you're a believer in Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. The Word has come in, and now it's growing in you, and the result of growth is what? Fruit. Fruit, peace, patience, love, understanding, kindness, perseverance, self-control.